from the Rise and Progress of Religion and the Soul by Philip Doddridge, a caution against various temptations by which the young convert may be drawn aside from the courage recommended above. This representation I have been making of the pleasure and advantage of a life spent in devotedness to God and communion with Him, as I have described it, will, I hope, engage you, my reader, to form some purposes and make some attempt to obtain it. But from considering the nature and observing the course of things, it appears exceedingly evident that besides the general opposition which I formally mentioned is like to attend you in your first entrance on a Christian life, you will find even that after you have resolutely broken through this, a variety of hindrances in any attempts or exemplary piety, and in the prosecution of a remarkably strict and edifying course, will present themselves daily in your path. And whereas you may, by a few resolute efforts, baffle some of the former sorts of enemies, these will be perpetually renewing their onsets, and a vigorous struggle must be continually maintained with them. Give me leave now, therefore, to be particular in my cautions against some of the chief of them. Here I would insist upon the difficulties which will arise from indolence and the love of pleasure, from vain company and worldly cares. Each of these may prove ensnaring to any, and especially to young persons to whom I would now have some particular regard. I entreat you, therefore, in the first place, that you would guard against a sluggish and indolent temper. The love of ease insinuates itself into the heart under a variety of plausible pretenses, which are often allowed to pass when temptations of a grosser nature would not be admitted. To miss spending a little time seems to wise and good men a small matter, yet this sometimes runs them into great inconveniences. It often leads them to break in upon the seasons regularly allotted to spiritual devotion and to defer business which might immediately be done, but being put off from day to day is not done at all. And by this the services of life are at least diminished, and the rewards of eternity diminish proportionably. Not to insist upon it, that very frequently this lays the soul open to further temptations, by which it falls in consequence of being found and employed. Be therefore suspicious of the first approaches of this kind. Remember that the soul of man is an active being, and that it must find its pleasure in activity. Gird up, therefore, the loins of your mind. Endeavor to keep yourselves always well employed. Be exact, if I may, with humble reverence, use the expression, in your appointments with God. Meet Him early in the morning, and do not say with a sluggard when the proper hour of rising has come, "A little more sleep. A little more slumber." That time which prudence shall advise you, give to conversation and to other recreations. But when that is elapsed, and no unforeseen and important engagements prevents, rise and be gone. Quit the company of your dearest friends and retire to your proper business, whether it be in the field, the shop, or the closet. For by acting contrary to the secret dictates of your mind as to what it is just at the present moment best to do, though it be but in a manner of spending half an hour, some degree of guilt is contracted, and a habit is cherished which may draw after it much worse consequences. Consider, therefore, what duties are to be dispatched and in what seasons. Form your plan as prudently as you can, and pursue it resolutely, unless an unexpected incident arises which leads you to conclude that duty calls you another way. You must make allowance for such unthought-of interruptions. But if in consequence of this you are obliged to omit anything of importance which you propose to be done today, do it, if possible, tomorrow, and do not cut yourself out new work until the former plan be dispatched, unless you really judge it not merely more amusing, but more important. And always remember that a servant of Christ should see to it that he determine on these occasions as in the presence of his master. Guard also against an excessive love of sensitive and animal pleasures, that which will be a great hindrance to you in that Christian course which I have now been urging you on to. You cannot but know that Christ has told us that a man must deny himself and take up his cross daily if he desires to become his disciple. Christ, the Son of God, the former and the heir of all things, did not please himself, but submitted to want, to difficulties and hardships in the way of duty, and some of them of the most extremest kind and degree, for the glory of God and the salvation of men. In this way we are to follow him, and as we know not how soon we may be called even to resist unto blood, striving against sin, Hebrews 12:4, it is certainly best to accustom ourselves to that discipline which we may possibly be called out to exercise even at such rigorous heights. A soft and delicate life will give force to temptations which might easily be subdued by one who has habituated himself to endure hardships as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. It also produces an attachment to this world and an unwillingness to leave it, which ill become those who are strangers and pilgrims on the earth, and who expect so soon to be called away to that better country which they profess to seek. Hebrews 11:13-16. Add to this that what the world calls a life of pleasure is necessarily a life of expense too, and may perhaps lead you, as it has many others, and especially many who have been setting out in the world beyond the limits which Providence has assigned, and so after a course of indulgence may produce a proportionable want. And while in other cases it is true that pity should be shown to the poor, this is a poverty that is justly contemptible, because it is the effect of a man's own folly. And when your want thus comes upon you as an armed man, you will not only find yourself stripped of the capacity you might otherwise have secured for performing those works of charity which are so ornamental to a Christian profession, but probably will be under strong temptations to some low artifice or mean compliance quite beneath the Christian character and that of an upright man. Many who once made a high profession, after a series of such sorry and scandalous shifts, have fallen into the infamy of the worst kind of bankruptcy. I mean such as have lavished away on themselves what was indeed the property of others, and so have injured and perhaps ruined the industrious, to feed a foolish, luxurious, or ostentatious humor, which, while indulged, was a shame of their own families, and when it can be indulged no longer, is their torment. This will be a terrible reproach to religion, such a reproach to it that a good man would rather choose to live on bread and water, or indeed to die for lack of them, than to occasion it. Guard, therefore, I beseech you, against anything which might tend that way, especially by diligence in business, and by prudence and frugality in expense, which by the divine blessing may have a very happy influence to make your affairs prosperous, your health vigorous, and your mind easy. But this cannot be attained without keeping a resolute watch over yourself and strenuously refusing to comply with many proposals which indolence and sensuality will offer in very plausible forms, and for which it will plead that it asks but very little. Take heed lest in this respect you imitate those fond parents who, by indulging their children in every little thing they have a mind to, encourage them by insensible degrees to grow still more encroaching and imperious in their demands, as if they chose to be ruined with them rather than to check them in what seems a trifle. Remember and consider that excellent remark, sealed by the ruin of so many thousands, "He that despises small things shall fall by little and little." In view of this, give me leave also seriously and tenderly to caution you against the snares of vain company. I don't speak as before that company which is openly licentious and profane. I hope there is something now in your temper and views which would engage you to turn away from such with detestation and horror. But I beseech you to consider that those companions may be very dangerous, who might at first give you but very little alarm. I mean those who, though not the declared enemies of Christianity and professed followers of vice and disorder, yet nevertheless have no practical sense of divine things on their hearts, so far as can be judged by their conversation and behavior. You must often of necessity be with such persons, and Christianity not only allows but requires that you should on all expedient occasions of intercourse with them treat them with civility and respect, but choose not such for your most intimate friends, and do not contrive to spend most of your leisure moments among them, for such converse has a sensible tendency to alienate a soul from God, and to render it unfit for all spiritual communion with Him. To convince you of this, do but reflect on your own experience when you have been for many hours together among persons of such a character. Do you not find yourselves more indisposed for devotional exercises? Do you not find your heart by insensible degrees more and more inclined to a conformity to this world, and to look with a secret disrelish on those objects and employments to which reason directs as the noblest and the best? Observe the first symptoms and guard against a snare in time, and for this purpose endeavor to form friendships founded in piety and supported by it. Be a companion of them that fear God and of them that keep His precepts. Psalm 119:63. You well know that in the sight of God the earth the excellent of the earth. Let them, therefore, be all your delight, Psalm 16:3, and that the peculiar benefit of their friendship may not be lost, endeavor to make the best of the hours you spend with them. The wisest of men has observed that when counsel in the heart of a man is like deep waters, that is, when it lies low and concealed, a man of understanding will draw it out, Proverbs 21:5. Endeavor, therefore, on such occasions, so far as you can do it, with decency and convenience, give the conversation a religious turn, and when serious and useful subjects are stated in your presence, lay hold of them and cultivate them, and for that purpose let the word of Christ dwell richly in you, and be continually made the man of your counsel. If it be so, it will secure you not only from the snares of idleness and luxury, but from the contagion of every bad example, and it will also engage you to guard against those excessive hurries of worldly business which would fill up all your time and thoughts, and thereby choke the good word of God, and render it in a great measure, if not quite unfruitful. Young people are generally of an enterprising disposition, having experienced comparatively little of the fatigue of business, and of the disappointments and encumbrances of life. They easily swallow them up and annihilate them in their imagination, and fancy that their spirit, their application and address will be able to encounter and surmount every obstacle or hindrance. But the event proves it otherwise. Let me entreat you, therefore, to be cautious how you plunge yourselves into a greater variety of business than you are capable of managing as you ought. That is, in consistency with the care of your soul and the service of God, which certainly ought not on any pretense to be neglected. It is true, indeed, that a prudent regard to your worldly interests would require such a caution, as it is obvious to every careful observer that multitudes are undone by grasping at more than they can conveniently manage. Hence it has frequently been seen that, while they have seemed resolved to be rich, they have pierced themselves through with many sorrows. 1 Timothy 6:10. Have ruined their own families and drawn down many others into desolation with them. Whereas, could they have been contented with moderate employments and moderate gains, they might have prospered in their business and might by sure degrees, under a divine blessing, have advanced a great and honorable increase. But if there were no danger at all to be apprehended on this, if you were as certain of becoming rich and great as you are of perplexing and fatiguing yourself in the attempt, consider how precarious these enjoyments are, Consider how often a plentiful table becomes a snare, and that which should have been for a man's welfare becomes a trap. Psalm 69, verse 22. Don't forget that short lesson, which is so comprehensive of the highest wisdom. One thing is needful. Be daily thinking, while the gay and the great things of life are glittering before your eyes, how soon death will come and impoverish you at once, how soon it will strip you of all of your possessions but those which a naked soul can carry along with it into eternity, when it drops a body into the grave. Eternity, eternity, eternity. Carry the view of it about with you, if it be possible, through every hour of awaking life, and be fully persuaded that you have no business, no interest in life that is inconsistent with it. For whatsoever would be injurious in view of eternity is not your business, is not your interest. You see, indeed, that the generality of men act as if they thought the great thing which God requires of them in order to secure his favor was to get as much of the world as possible, at least as much as they can, without any gross immorality and without risking the loss of all. Such persons may tell others, and perhaps flatter themselves, that they only seek opportunities of greater usefulness. But in effect, if they mean anything more by this than a capacity of usefulness which, when they have it, they will not exert, they generally deceive themselves in one way or another. It is a vain pretense. In most instances, men seek the world either that they may hoard up riches for the mean and scandalous satisfaction of looking upon them while they are living, and of thinking that when they are dead, it will be said of them that they have left so many hundreds or thousands of pounds behind them, very probably to ensnare their children or their heirs. For the vanity is not peculiar to those who have children of their own. Or else they may lavish away their riches on their lusts, and drown themselves in a gulf of sensuality in which, if reason be not lost, their Christian profession soon will be swallowed up, and with it all the noblest pleasures which can enter into the heart of man. In this view, the generality of rich people appear to me objects of much greater compassion than the poor, especially as when both live, which is frequently the case, without any fear of God before their eyes. The rich abuse a greater variety and abundance of their favors, and therefore will probably fill in that world a future, a ruin which awaits impenitent sinners, a more exquisite sense of their misery. And let me observe to you, lest you should think yourself secure from any such danger, that we have great reason to apprehend there are many now in a very wretched state, who once thought seriously of religion when they were first setting out, in lower circumstances of life. But they have since forsaken God for money, and are now priding themselves in those golden chains which in all probability before it be long will leave them to remain in those of darkness. When therefore an attachment to the world may be followed with such fatal consequences, let not your heart envy sinners, Proverbs 23, verse 17, and do not, out of a desire of gaining what they have, be guilty of such folly as to expose yourself to this double danger, or failing in the attempt, or being undone by the success of it. Contract your desires, endeavor to be easy and content with a little, and if providence call you out to act in a larger sphere, submit to it in obedience to providence. But number it among the trials of life, which it will require a larger proportion of grace to bear well. For be assured that as affairs and interests multiply, cares and duties will certainly increase, and probably disappointments and sorrows will increase in an equal proportion. On the whole, learn by divine grace to die to the present world, to look upon it as a low state of being which God never intended for the final and complete happiness or the supreme care of any one of his children, a world where something is indeed to be enjoyed, but chiefly from himself, where a great deal is to be borne with patience and resignation, and where some important duties are to be performed in a course of discipline to be passed through, by which you are to be formed for a better state, to which as a Christian you are near, and to which God will call you perhaps on a sudden. But undoubtedly, if you hold on your way in the fittest time and the most convenient manner, refer therefore all this to Him. Let your hopes and fears, your expectations and desires with regard to this world be kept as low as possible, and all your thoughts be united as much as may be in this one center. What is it that God would and present have you to be? And what is that method of conduct by which you may most effectually please and glorify Him? The young convert's prayer for divine protection against the danger of these snares. Blessed God, in the midst of 10,000 snares and dangers which surround me from without and from within, allow me to look upon you as with a humble entity that you would deliver me from them that rise up against me, and that your eyes may be upon me for good, when sloth and indolence are ready to seize me. Awaken me from that idle dream with lively and affectionate views of that invisible and eternal world to which I am tending. Remind me of what infinite importance it is that I diligently improve those transient moments which you have allotted me as a time of my preparation for it. When sinners entice me, may I not consent. May holy converse with you give me a disrelish for the converse of those who are strangers to you and who would separate my soul from you. May I honor them that fear the Lord. In walking with such wise and holy men, may I find I am daily advancing in wisdom and holiness. Quicken me, O Lord, by their means, that by me you may also quicken others. Make me the happy instrument of enkindling and animating the flame of divine love in their breasts, and may it catch from heart to heart and grow every moment in its progress. Ard me from the love of sensual pleasure. May I seriously remember that to be carnally minded is death. May it please you, therefore, to purify and refine my soul by the influence of your Holy Spirit, that I may always shun unlawful gratifications more solicitously than others pursue them, and that those indulgences of animal nature which you have allowed, and which the constitution of things renders necessary, may be soberly and moderately used. May I still remember the superior dignity of my spiritual and intelligent nature, and may the pleasures of the man and the Christian be sought as my noblest happiness. May my soul rise on the wings of holy contemplation to the regions of invisible glory, and may I be endeavoring to form myself under the influences of divine grace for the entertainments of those angelic spirits that live in your presence, in a happy incapacity of those gross delights by which spirits dwelling in flesh are so often ensnared, and in which they so often lose the memory of their high, original, and of those noble hopes which alone are proportionable to it. Please, Lord, give me to know the station in which you have fixed me, and steadily to pursue the duties of it, but deliver me from those excessive cares of this world which would so engross my time and my thoughts that the one thing needful should be forgotten. May my desires after worldly possessions be moderated by considering their uncertain and unsatisfying nature. And while others are laying up treasures on earth, may I be rich towards God. May I never be too busy to attend to those great affairs which lie between you and my soul. Never be so engrossed with the concerns of time as to neglect the interests of eternity. May I pass through earth with my heart and hopes set upon heaven, and feel the attractive influence stronger and stronger as I approach still nearer and nearer to that desirable center, until the happy moment come when every earthly object shall disappear from my view, and the shining glories of the heavenly world shall fill my improved and strengthened sight, which shall then be cheered with that which would now overwhelm me. Amen.